This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Indicted Republican George Santos's brief career in the U.S. House came to an end today when fellow lawmakers voted 311 to 114 to expel him. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Some Republicans pushed back against Santos's expulsion, saying the courts or the people of New York should decide whether Santos continues to serve.
I'd vote for to expel if he was found guilty in a court of law, but that has not occurred yet. We are a political body. We are not a judicial body.
But his fellow Republican lawmakers from New York spearheaded the push to have him expelled.
Obviously, broken law, defrauded taxpayers, voters, and donors.
Santos left the House floor even before the vote was finished, and he made no comment as he left the Capitol.
New York will hold a special election to fill Santos's seat. Palestinian officials claim Israeli strikes have killed at least 178 people throughout the Gaza Strip since the ceasefire ended. The BBC's Paul Adams is in Jerusalem.
After a respite that lasted one precious week, the sound of war returned to Gaza. Israel had been warning of this for days. It said its warplanes attacked 200 targets throughout the Gaza Strip. Children were once again among the dead and the wounded. Hospitals, already overcrowded, were full of chaotic scenes. For the first time in a week, aid deliveries ground to a halt.
Ceasefire mediator Qatar says efforts are ongoing to renew the truce. A federal judge rejects former President Trump's immunity claim in the federal 2020 election case. CBS's Robert Legarry.
Whatever immunities a sitting president may enjoy, the judge wrote, the United States only has one chief executive at a time, and the position does not confer a lifelong get-out-of-jail-free pass. That's according to Chutkin's order posted late Friday.
Flags are at half-staff in honor of trailblazing Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who died today in Phoenix, Arizona. The first woman ever to serve on the Supreme Court died from complications of advanced dementia and a respiratory illness. CBS's Jan Crawford looks back.
It's all right to be the first to do something, but I didn't want to be the last woman on the Supreme Court.
That was part of the pressure of being the historic first, a trail Sandra Day O'Connor blazed more than once.
The nomination of Judge Sandra Day O'Connor.
She was the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court in its 192-year history. She would not be the last.
It had an incredible ripple effect of making opportunities become available for women. It was just a remarkable transformation.
O'Connor was 93. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 23 overnight under cloudy skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, cloudy, about an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, move. moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Delighted to have you along with us. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Our colleague and producer at Civic Media, Anya Esther, is joining us. And you can always check in, too, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Anya was at the really big March for Israel yesterday in Washington, D.C. Anya, you had a really late night. You got back after midnight at O'Hare, right?
That's right. Well, not O'Hare, but General Mitchell. We touched down late last night. We left from General Mitchell yesterday at 5 a.m., landed in Maryland, got on a bus, bussed our way into D.C. D.C. was incredible, and then back out all the way back to Milwaukee just before midnight. And then I thought I'd text you and say, you know what, Jane? I might sleep in. I might not see you in studio. Let me get that link. So that was my evening, yeah.
What a day, my goodness. First of all, Anya, who did you travel with?
So I had the fantastic opportunity to travel with our local Jewish Federation, which is to say a group of Jewish people who got together and said, look, it is important that our community shows up for this. If you want to go, here is a subsidized rate for young professionals, essentially. So I traveled with 120 Milwaukee mostly, but also from all over Wisconsin, professionals aging from, I think, the youngest traveler with us was 9, and some of the folks with us were of an age where it would have been disrespectful to ask. So we had a wide variety of folks, and we also had folks, I should say, folks like me who are Reform Jews, which is to say, you know, practice is very relaxed, practice is very chill. We also had folks who had to delay boarding, not in a bad way, they just chose to get on after folks because it was time for morning prayer and that was uninterruptible. One of the guys I had the opportunity to interview said he'd never seen so many black hats and tattoos in one room before boarding with all of us. So that's who I traveled with. And then getting to DC, who I was with was incredibly 290,000 estimated attendees from all over America. People were talking about folks from the UK being there, other countries. It is insane.
Yeah. Some of the photos that I saw from yesterday, as you said, almost 300,000 people, and it was peaceful. There was no violence, at least not as of today. I haven't seen anything that there have been any reports of violence or anything. So that's good news. What, other than showing support for Israel, what was the message behind this march, Anya?
Right. The message behind this was that in the wake of the events since October 7th, the wake of the attack in Israel, anti-Semitism everywhere has spiked just to unprecedented numbers. The phrase that was used to discuss October 7th has been, you know, this was the deadliest day for, and every day since, we have seen levels of anti-Semitism events occurring, like the burning of a synagogue in Tunisia, the death of a Jewish protester in LA, in California. While these things are related to Israel, they are far more about the rampant anti-Semitism, the ways in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are using this opportunity or this occurrence as an opportunity to commit anti-Semitism. That was the message of this march. In addition to that, talking about still the 240 people who are being held hostage, there were mothers of hostages in attendance who spoke. including the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who is a young man, a leftist who was taken hostage. We know that he lost his arm that day, and we don't know that he has received medical assistance since being taken into Gaza. So all of these things were the topic, in addition to the topic of love for our community and growing that love in a time when there is growing hate, and saying we will always love each other and ourselves more than anyone can hate us for it. And it was like a breath of fresh air to be among so many people who were so diverse, so different. Yes, if we sat down and had long, long discussions, we would argue, but that's because we're Jewish. You know, that's family. That's what happens. But it was about, it's a time in all of this war, in all of this ugly violence, it is a time for love, and it is a time for taking care of each other. So, yeah.
And I assume it was people of all faiths that were in, not just people of the Jewish faith, but people of all faiths.
That's right. Some of the speakers were Christian activists, Muslim activists. As well, I know that the attendees came from a wide variety of backgrounds, not just the diversity of Jewish backgrounds, but the diversity of Christian backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, a ton of atheists, I'm sure a ton of Buddhists and Baha'i folks. It was truly, truly an incredible display.
If you're just joining us, Anastasia Esther is our guest. She's our colleague here at Civic Media, producer for numerous programs, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, which you can hear Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Anya was in Washington, D.C. yesterday among hundreds of thousands of people marching for Israel. We talked a little bit off the air, Anya, with this horrible situation between Israel and Hamas, and how sometimes, because you are Jewish and you are open about practicing your faith, people come to you and expect you to be able to answer on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And can't you just, you know, call Bibi Netanyahu for me and
yeah,
figure, you know, can't we?
Yeah,
get
I got him on speed dial.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But people do make that assumption that your opinion is going to be representative of all opinions. And that's just not the case.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And it was that was a lot of the discussion yesterday, was how so many of us, the wide diversity of world Jewry, each of us had experiences of meeting someone who said that they'd never met a Jewish person. And now it was time for that individual, that one person, to answer the questions and do the education and be the voice. And here's a crowd of, like you said, not all of them are Jewish, but I, from what I've read, at least, or an estimated 100,000 of those were college students.
Wow.
In attendance.
Wow.
So college students who are going to college in places across America, across the world, meeting someone who goes, "You are the first Jewish person I've ever met. Now it's time for you to explain."
Yeah.
And part of the fervor of yesterday was all of us going, "Oh, thank goodness there. I don't have to explain myself to anyone here. I know why you're mourning. I know why you're having a hard time. Let us just continue on with this day together and not have to think about all the explanations we've had to give in the previous days."
Well, and much like Christianity, there are different
yes,
sects of Judaism, right?
Yes.
You know, Christianity has
absolutely
evangelicals and Lutherans and Catholics and Unitarians, and Judaism also has its different breakdowns.
That's right. Yes. And to talk about that a little bit, we did see kind of one of the stronger, one of the quite more obvious delineations in that difference in practices. You know, we had folks there who were ultra Orthodox, like I said, folks whose morning prayer, they were like, "We will board in just one moment. We just have to finish this up." But there were also members of a group that I've discussed before named Neturi Karta, who are extreme ultra-Orthodox. They're part of a group known as the Satmers, which is like you have ultra-Orthodox, and then within that, a tiny group called Satmers, and an even tinier group that is this Neturi Karta. For most people, you'd be familiar with Satmers. That's the group that is shown in the Netflix show Unorthodox, where
yes,
you have the young woman shaving her head before her wedding, and now everyone's like, "Anya, when you get married, will you shave your head?" And it's like, "No, please, no.
Only if I
totally
want to.
Different thing. Only if I think it looks good with the dress." Yeah.
Right.
But within that extremist group that some of America is familiar from that show is a group named Naturi Karta, who was present not within the march but outside. And that's really the only group that showed up and tried to be like, hey, this isn't right. And they had signs that said, like, authentic rabbis wouldn't support this. And then there's a couple hundred thousand, not a hundred thousand, but a couple thousand rabbis on the other side going, well, we support a wide variety of different things, friend, including each other. Yeah. So
I am baffled by that.
We all are. And I'll say this. Orthodox rabbis especially are very well spoken. And when you ask them something, they'll often pause to make sure that they have a good long answer that often has many more questions within it. When an Orthodox rabbi two rows behind me was asked about this group later, one of the people who was with us had no idea who they were. All I heard from the guy was, no, they're a whack job. So
that's just
a very quick. I mean, coming from people who otherwise would give you about a 15-minute spiel on it. There you go.
It makes sense.
We're all baffled.
When you change the scenario, if you have people marching for, you know, peace and freedom and justice, you can have Christians standing outside and like, this is not America. You are not America. We are the ones who are America because we believe in X, Y, and Z. And we are also whack jobs.
Whack jobs, yeah.
If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, keeping in mind that Anya is not here to speak on behalf of the government of Israel or Bibi Netanyahu or any of that. She was an attendee yesterday at a huge, huge, almost 300,000 people march for Israel yesterday in D.C. Can you stay with us through the break?
Of course. Yes, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Because I do want to talk. You had mentioned that among the speakers that you heard yesterday were some Muslims. And I would love to hear what message they had to share during all of this conflict and all of this death and all of this mess. It's just a mess. All right. We will be right back. I hope you will stay with us. 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Severe weather hits and the power goes out. Do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
One, two, three, four. Everybody talks about bagging.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Anya Esther, our colleague and fellow producer here at Civic Media, is joining us. And if you would like to watch on the stream, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can always check in, leave a call or a text at 844-967-2789. 2789. Anya yesterday attended the March for Israel that was in Washington, nearly 300,000 people. And again, as of this morning, I haven't seen any reports of any violence or any incidents or anything like that. So that's always wonderful when you get a group together of that size. Anya, you had mentioned that among the speakers yesterday were some followers of the Muslim faith. Can you share some of what their messages were?
Yeah, so one of the phenomenal speakers, and I should say everyone who spoke was so moving and so great, but one of those speakers was Anila Ali. She's an American Pakistani activist and American politician, and her speech was a call for folks who are Muslim to examine if what they are participating in is freedom for Palestinians or if it is anti-Semitism. And a lot of her speech examined this idea, and it's something that I've spoken about on the Maggie Dawn show as well, this idea that there are many sides to this. A lot of people want there to just be two, but there are many sides to this. And there are people who are members of the Muslim faith who are choosing to engage in things that they believe to be anti-Zionism, engaging in things that they believe to be against the Israeli government as a way of protesting in favor of the Palestinian folks. But a lot of it, unfortunately, becomes anti-Semitism. For example, the burning of the synagogue in Tunisia. The folks who did that are claiming that they did it because, you know, this is what Islam would want and this is that and this is against Israel, when really, of course, it is just anti-Semitism. So she had a great quote from the Quran in her speech where she said, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran 5:8. So her speech was very moving and a very empowering call for something similar to what I've been discussing, which is folks who claim to be pro-Israel when really they are just Islamophobic. And they see this as an opportunity to engage in hatred against Muslim folks. This is, as I said earlier, how this march was also about confronting the anti-Semitism people have engaged in. She was also calling out rightfully and loudly the continued Islamophobia and the anti-Semitism happening in this. So that was very moving and very powerful.
That was something I wanted to bring up, and I was trying to find just the most correct, respectful words for it, because what I see are a lot of politicians who raise their fist in pro-Israel while not doing enough to delineate the difference between Hamas and men, women, and children in Palestine who just want to live.
Yeah.
And did you see that sort of support there as far as people saying, you know, for lack of a better term, we are all one, we are all love, we are all one people? You know, I mean, it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yes, it is. It is. And I will say outright, many, many, many of the speeches, and I'll be, you know, I was running around with my camera, so I didn't listen intently to every single one. But many of the speeches, not just implied, but outright said, the Palestinian people deserve and need freedom. There are Palestinian people who are dying and suffering because of things that have nothing to do with them. That is wrong, period. So a lot of the speakers, several of the politicians, and the vast majority of attendees who I spoke to, that was their feeling. And tonight on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll have some more interviews that I conducted with folks in the airport on the way home. And many of them said the exact same thing. This has to be an equal response where we are helping, saving, rescuing the lives of the Palestinians who are in Gaza, who have been suffering for so long, in addition to everything else that is happening, in addition to the hostages being held by Hamas, in addition to all of this. We have to be vocal and we have to be present for the Palestinian people. I think the not caveat isn't the word, but the feeling that came with that was so many Jewish people feel that they have heard their friends speak on that side and not for the anti-Semitism that they've experienced. And that is a feeling that's not inherently a fact. But many of the people I spoke with more so wanted to express, we are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are hurt that we are not hearing people be in favor for peace for Jews as well.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of what we wanted to cover yesterday was, we must, because it is our community, be vocal for ourselves. If not us, who will?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, all people should be safe. All people should be free. And specifically stated, the Palestinian people as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of answers that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah.
And as you said too, Anya, this is such a complicated quagmire that goes back decades and decades and decades. And the assumption that, you know, and that's why I think Greg and I have kind of avoided this subject, because it is so complicated and there's so much nuance to it. And I don't want to step out and say, well, this is what I think they should do, because I don't know enough about the history of these conflicts and all of the different angles and nuances and players that have been involved in this for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, for me, I want the Palestinians to have peace and a home. I want Israelis to have peace and a home. I want the politicians who are using this as ammunition to be voted out, kicked out, whatever.
Yes.
And those who are combating innocent people to be brought to justice. And you only need to say that once, because after that, it's right. It's the nuance of it all. It's like, I don't know the foreign policy. I'm not going to get into it. And I feel like once you do that, people start screaming at you because you're not on their side. I'm like, well, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's the feeling. And I will go into more of the nuance and things like this evening on Maggie Dawn's show, because I am solo hosting for her as she's dealing with Lord knows what, some lawyerly stuff beyond my pay grade.
so you're going to host tonight?
I am, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to talk more about my experiences. I'm going to play some clips from some fantastic interviews I recorded. But Jane, I think your statement is right. There's, there's a lot of people who don't know the players, who don't know the history, who are getting very vocal and saying what they think should happen.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm not an expert on it either. I'm just one person who was there. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to folks and folks who want to hear more. Maggie Dawn tonight, 6 to 7. And
Anya Esther, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you had a safe journey. And as she said, to make sure you join her tonight at 6 o'clock as she steps into the big chair for Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us when we come back. The Holiday Folk Fair is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to talk about that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 23 overnight, under cloudy skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, cloudy, about an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
To Southeast Wisconsin at 5:40 a.m. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, 10:34 on this Monday, November 13th. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. And joining us, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and winner of many, 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 many Milwaukee Press Club Awards, Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to see you. It's a beautiful day. Nice. Considering it's November, it's a beautiful day. So get outside and enjoy it if you can. I subscribe, of course, to the wonderful Recombobulation Area, as everyone should.
I do.
Thank you, Jane.
You bet. And I saw your mailbag, where you open it up and you invite, you know, readers to send in their questions, and then you attempt to answer them. And I thought this week's mailbag was really great, and I wanted to start out with one of the letters in your mailbag. Here's how this one goes. I understand the what about the wow counties being as deep red as they have historically been, but I've never really gotten the why, particularly as it relates to Waukesha. Seems to me Waukesha should at least be a swing county, manufacturing, a union presence. I've never really been able to wrap my mind around why it is historically deep red. For that matter, if it was upper middle class suburbanites responsible for that, then why the suburban shift has happened slower in Waukesha than around the country. I found
you
that
get some good questions at the Recombobulation Area.
Yeah, you really do. So what is your response to that?
Well, so for those who don't know, I am from Waukesha County. So I grew up in a very conservative part of Waukesha County. I was raised in Pewaukee schools, Brookfield churches, and a whole lot of baseball fields all over Waukesha County.
Wow.
So I do have some insight into Waukesha County politics and to why it is as red as it is. And I think Greg had something to say here. What Greg had some reaction while I was saying that.
Well, I'm from Waukesha as well. From the city, but I have family in Western Waukesha County. A lot of police in my family, a lot of deep red conservative values in my family and from the area. And when I worked for the Obama campaign in 2008, when we lost Waukesha County by 8 points, we considered it a victory.
Oh, that was a win.
That was a win, losing by single digits. All right, go on, Dan.
Because I remember, you know, being in high school around Waukesha County, there was a Bush Cheney sign in every yard in Waukesha County, or at least in Pewaukee where I lived, the neighborhood I grew up in. There was basically a Bush Cheney sign in every last yard. I think there was like one Kerry sign in the neighborhood. Things are obviously changing a little bit. When I went back to that old neighborhood last year, it kind of blew my mind to see some Tony Evers signs and even some Mandela Barnes signs in my old neighborhood. I'm still kind of processing that one. I think there are a couple things that explain, you know, the polarization and the why it is so deep red, because we've seen, like, you know, this the trend over the past, you know, much of the past decade has seen many suburban communities continue to shift to the left. And that has been kind of like exacerbated and amplified in the Trump era. That we were kind of experiencing this point of realignment where you have, you know, some more of the educated suburban voters who are tending to vote Democrat, and you're getting some more rural and working class voters voting more Republican. That varies from election to election here in Wisconsin, where we have a bit real independent streak. But I think in Waukesha County, it primarily comes down to two things. And one is the religious conservatives that I think enjoy a tremendously significant presence in Waukesha County. And I think overall, the regional anti-city polarization that has been fueled in large part by some conservative talk radio shows that have been popular in the region for many of the past, I don't know, 30 years, that have really amplified it and kind of fostered those divisions over the years. And I think, you know, as we're seeing that change, but I think that is part of the reason why that shift that much of the country was seeing before it started happening in the Wow counties and in the Milwaukee metro area, I think it just took a little bit longer to shake loose because I think in 2014, there was a big Journal Sentinel feature on how the Milwaukee metro area was the most politically polarized metro area in the country.
Wow.
And I think it is because of that, because it was so deep, deep red in the suburbs and so deep, deep blue in the city, that it kind of took a little bit longer for that polarization to shake loose and that shift to start to happen. But it is certainly happening in a big way over the last few election cycles in Wisconsin.
I think the other thing, too, is like when you ask people about Waukesha County, if you put Waukesha County in quotes, people are going to say Brookfield, Waukesha, New Berlin, Pewaukee. Waukesha is a huge county.
It is a big county.
So like it's just made up of all different kinds of parts, all different kinds of people. So and that's really with any county, too. Like that's when I worked in Racine in the mayor's office, you know. Yeah, Racine is real blue collar union blue, but you drive past the eye.
Yeah.
Robin Voss signs for days.
Well, and you talk about the same thing can be true of cities, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the city of Milwaukee, there are more votes for Donald Trump from the city of Milwaukee than any other city. If you think about it, because 25% of the city is voting for Donald Trump, that's like couple hundred thousand people, mm-hmm. you know, in Milwaukee County who are going to be voting for Trump. So I think that, you know, you got it. Everything contains multitudes, right? Yeah. And Waukesha County is the third most populous county in the state. So it's going to have a lot of votes from all across the political spectrum.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area. And we're talking about several letters that were in the recent mailbag over at the Recombob area. Here's one. New nickname. I think this is a really great question, Dan. As a former Milwaukeean who watches with interest from a distance, I have to ask you, what is there to be optimistic about right now in Wisconsin at large and also in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think this is actually a really interesting time for Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and an interesting time to be optimistic about what's going on here. I think the headlines that we so often see coming out of Wisconsin are so negative and are so, you know, fraught with polarization and fraught with, you know, the conservatives running, the Republicans running the Wisconsin state legislature so often dictate the news cycle. Robin Voss dictating the news cycle in so many ways. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. You know, in Milwaukee, you know, we just had this really big deal to put the city and county's finances on more firm footing looking forward. And I think you're going to start to see, instead of constantly looking for ways to avoid the cliff or avert a worst case scenario, I think you're going to start seeing the city and county turn the dial in the other direction a little bit way, start to make some investments. And I think, you know, recent example of this that I highlighted in my response there was the growing MKE proposal from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, a fascinating plan that could transform the way housing is built in Milwaukee, reform the zoning code. I saw some people, you know, comment on it this week from across the country saying it is one of the most ambitious zoning codes being introduced anywhere in the country. So I think, you know, there's going to be stuff that's just one example, but I think you're going to start to see more of it. And, you know, we just had budgets passed in the city and county in Milwaukee that didn't have a whole lot of opposition. Everybody was kind of pulling in the same direction. And instead of, you know, figuring out what's going to be cut this time, they're actually starting to invest in some things. So I think that is making me optimistic about Milwaukee. I think some credit is due to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, for helping get some of those things done. But I think in Wisconsin too, you know, the death grip of gerrymandering is starting to loosen, whether it's through the court cases that are moving forward or whether it's Republicans acknowledging that their approach to making this the most gerrymandered maps in the country isn't really working for people. And so I think that is another sign that we are going to be able to make some meaningful changes in this state and city in the future.
Do you really think, Dan, though, that some Republican lawmakers think that gerrymandering is bad because they're not responding to their constituents? Because to me, that sounds like the perfect job. It's like, I can do whatever I want and I can ignore everything that my constituents want. And there's absolutely nothing they can do about it if they can vote me out, maybe.
It's going to be it's always a little bit different when these legislators have to operate with a little bit different of a sense of accountability. And I think if we can bring a little bit more accountability to the Wisconsin state legislature, we're going to see more meaningful change. And I think to a certain extent, you saw it this year in some instances in the legislature, like that shared revenue deal, where it was clear that something had to get done. You know, there were obviously things that folks like me in Milwaukee who lean to the left are not thrilled about with that deal, but I think it was really important to get done. And so, and this was the first year, and that happened after, you know, Tony Evers was reelected, happened after the Janet Protasiewicz landslide victory in April. You know, we're seeing a little bit more bipartisanship happening in Madison, just a little bit.
Slightly, a scooch
slightly,
more.
Very, very slightly. It's kind of one step forward, two steps back. But there are some steps being taken in the right direction.
I was going to say, a scooch is great. I'll take a scooch.
We'll take a scooch, right?
I will say this too, in response to the question about Milwaukee and its improvements, and this is not like, I would actually, Dan, if you know deeply about this or get someone on to talk about those rezoning ideas, that sounds exciting. But also, last night I was in Milwaukee not working for a moment, and I was walking down Valar Phillips, and I felt like I was in a different city. It didn't feel, and in a good way, too. It's like, oh my gosh, this, you know, this is beautiful. Like the improvements, even to the sidewalks and the look of the buildings. I'm like, this feels like a fancy city I'm in, and it felt good.
I think there's so many reasons to be excited about Milwaukee right now. Yeah. You know, I think we're, yeah, I've been, you know, obviously from the region, like I was saying, grew up in Waukesha County. I've been in the city of Milwaukee basically since 2009, save one year. I'm as optimistic or more optimistic now in 2023 than at any time since I've lived in the city.
Well, that's, that makes me feel good because I am not an optimist. So it's always nice to be able to pull optimism from others. I really appreciate that, Dan.
We'll get you to be an optimist by a stretch.
I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist.
You are the glass a realist.
Yes.
The glass is half full, but sometimes that glass is half full of poison.
I want that on a t-shirt. That sums up my, oh God, that was a perfect answer.
Oh man, that was funny.
That was just perfect. All right. When we come back, the Brewers deal, the Brewers stadium deal explained for a five-year-old. Dan's going to break it down for us as he did for his reader of the recombobulation area and see where we stand on the latest with this. There have been some little tweaks, haven't there, Dan?
There's some amendments. There's some debates. There's a whole lot going on. Big vote tomorrow, though.
All right. Big vote tomorrow. Stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you every weekday on the Civic Media Network and on our app very soon. A big shout out to Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and of course, our fantastic guests who have been helping to hold down the fort while I've been gone. So I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area is here with us as well, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you ever want to call and or text. A couple texts I wanted to get to. Good morning, everybody. This is from Marty. Do you know that the stadium is not in the city of Milwaukee? Why are we being taxed separately for triple taxation? Do we know about the deed restrictions that came with the deal with the VA in 1949? It calls for tickets for veterans at every event, 250 per game. I was not familiar with that.
I feel like we brought this up, the veterans thing,
a while ago,
and it just was sort of like a thing of, it was back then, and then we stopped. Because, I mean, I bet you people stopped asking, and I'm sure if veterans want tickets, they can get them.
I would hope so.
But, yeah, I just, you know, it was also, I mean, okay, what I'm about to say is not going to sound like I support the vets. I support the vets. I'm the son of a vet. But that was a long time ago. And if they were going to, like, re-up it, then it would be in there. But my guess is someone just probably forgot to put it in the new handbook.
I don't know if that type of thing made the new deal when it became the stadium district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the 90s. Yeah. Well, and it, to my knowledge, it's right on the border, but the stadium is within the borders of the city of Milwaukee.
I thought it was in West Milwaukee.
It's a weird border right over there. Mm-hmm. But if you go if you go south of National Avenue, mm-hmm. you're in West Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But I think if you go north of National Avenue there, you're still in the city of Milwaukee until you get to the highway. And then there's a very weird borders in that part of
town. You heard it here first, folks. Dan Schaefer said we have to secure our borders.
We are grabbing some questions from the recombobulation areas, a reader mailbag. The last one we're going to cover. Dan, I've read as much as I can about the Brewers stadium deal, and I am still lost. I hate the phrase, explain it to me like I'm five, but, well, please explain it to me like I'm five and what this might or might not mean to me as a Wisconsin taxpayer, a Dane County resident, and a fan of the Brewers.
All right, so do you want me to just read my convoluted Lego analogy?
Yes.
Right from the page here?
Sure.
Okay. So let's say I bought you a Lego set.
Okay.
Yes.
To someone who's five.
Oh.
And you use that Lego set to build something great, and a lot of people loved it. But after a while, some of the Legos inevitably got lost or broken. So you came back to ask me for more Legos, so you keep putting something together that people would love. But over time, things changed. Lego sets weren't built the same way, everything costs more, and not everyone was sure that buying more Legos to build the same set the same way was the best idea. And maybe your sister needs a new backpack or some cold medicine, and we're not sure if buying new Legos is the right decision right now. Maybe you can use some of the extra pieces for a little while until we find a better way to buy new Legos. Or maybe we should just use some extra money from savings to get the Legos now so nobody freaks out about the possibility of the Legos going away forever. How's that work?
You lost me when you started using Lego in the plural incorrectly.
Oh, God.
Oh.
He is so obsessed about that, honestly.
No, that was actually a wonderful... No, that's a wonderful... I love that. I love that.
So where are we now? Where is the deal now? Because there have been some amendments you mentioned. Some things have changed.
Yeah, so it's the vote tomorrow is the big vote. It's the final hurdle. It's the most contentious piece of the vote. So I think there have been some amendments to kind of win over some of the last few holdouts. You know, this is a deal that's supported by Tony Evers, by Robin Voss, by Cavalier Johnson, by David Crowley. So lots of the main principals who are involved with this are on board. Interestingly, it's the type of deal that doesn't cut across traditional political lines. You don't have all Republicans in favor or all Democrats opposed. You have some kind of in between there, which I think it makes it a really fascinating deal. But I think I do expect it to pass tomorrow. You know, I think there's a lot of people who are even opposed to it who want to get to yes. And so maybe there are some final concessions to be made. You know, one of those, I think, is having some representation for the local governments who are paying into this deal on the stadium board.
Yes.
It seems like a no-brainer. You know, I know the overall size of the deal could have been reduced if they instituted a ticket tax for all events. They're only doing it for non-Brewers games events, but that's going to reduce the state's contribution to the deal by about $30 million. Doesn't offset the local contribution, of course, which, of course, they're going to kick Milwaukee to try and win over those last few votes. But yeah, I think, you know, the Republicans have 20 plus votes in the state Senate, so they could pass it just with Republican votes. But I think they're going to need some Democrats to vote in favor of this as well. And I think they'll get a handful of Democrats to vote for this.
Did the Brewers cough up any more money? Because that's always been my gripe. I still don't think they're putting enough into this deal. I don't.
I completely agree with you there. They're putting in something like 20% of the overall price tag of the deal. The Bucks were put in something along the lines of 50% of the price tag of the deal. Much, 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 much different. I don't think the Brewers have totally approached this conversation in the best way. They added more money to the deal, but they added $10 million, which, look, $10 million is a lot of money, of course, but it is like $10 million in a deal that's approaching $700 million, it's not a big percentage increase.
No, it's not.
That barely covers tip.
That's the best that they can do to bring it, you know, to get it over the finish line. I guess that's the money that they have freed up available now that they are not paying Craig Counsell to be the manager.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Well, then they should have a whole lot more money they should be able to kick in.
Have you met Mark Antanasio?
This will always leave a bad taste in my mouth because I don't think they're picking up their fair share. I really don't.
But I know we have to go soon, but just to be fair, this team doesn't have a history of kicking in its fair share. Like the people have gotten rolled over on many times. Yeah. So there's never a stadium where everyone's like, great.
Let's do it.
Maybe except for Cowboy Stadium where Jerry Jones was like, I'll pay for it. It's fine.
Oh, by the way, Dan, your t-shirt suggestion, what is the phrase now? You're an optimist?
The glass half full, but sometimes it's half full of poison.
Texter from the 541 wants to know what size t-shirts we want and what colors, because we're going to get those shirts made up. I think that's absolutely hilarious.
Wow, okay, there we go.
We will see you next week on Tuesday. Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful day. Stay with us. When we come back, Mark Sommerhauser from the Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to join us. We're going to talk housing. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, look at me. Gotta be Santa Theo. Yeah.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/actnow. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up. That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never, never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We got
and I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the, he was in the, like really.
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on. Where
every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Republican George Santos is kicked out of